It's April the 9th, 2019, in the Lucy Coleman studio in L.A., California, United States of America, God's wonderful green and blue and brown planet, hanging up there, just floating around. I'm going to speak to you a little bit about Islam in the United States. Only recently has many Americans become aware of Islam because of the, trauma that's happening all over the world these days. But I want to also talk with you about, since I was talking about your calls had to be defined by the opening of one's mind. Defining a cause, it makes me go all the way back to the day when I was just starting grad school, and one of the students of grad school asked me, have I read the book that was out at that time called The Content of the Character? It was a new vision of race in America written by a black man, Shelby Still. And they asked me if I agreed with Shelby Still's recomposed self. One of the chapters in the book was on that, and I have the book. It's in chapter 4, if you get a chance to read that. And I wonder how you would read it. I read it differently years ago. When I read it, I was in total agreement with Shelby. But after reading that chapter today, I only agree with him maybe 5% of 100% of what he said in that chapter. And the 5% that I agreed with him about was when he said that in the chapter that as black people, we have no leader adequate in this country. Now I want to play a song that's going to encourage each and every one of us to get up and get a job.
Breaking up big rocks on a chain gang, breaking rocks and serving my time. Breaking rocks out there on a chain gang, cause I've been convicted of crime. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Yeah, I reckon that ought to get it in. Working and working, but I still got the devil on the go. I committed crime, Lord, I need them. Crime of being hungry and poor. I left the grocery store, man, beat him. When he got me walking the store, I hold a steady right there while I hit it. Yeah, I reckon that ought to get it in. Working and working, but I still got the devil on the go. Should you say 5 years before I claim them? On the chain gang, you behind the cove. I heard you just say 5 years of fever. I heard my mama scream, Lord, it knows. I hold a steady right there while I hit it. Yeah, I reckon that ought to get it in. Working and working, but I still got the devil on the go. See my sweet honey baby, gonna break this chain off the run. I wanna lay my soul in the shade, Lord, it's always hot in the sun. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Yeah, I reckon that ought to get it in. Waking and waking, but I still got the devil on the go. rocks and saving my time.
Wrap your mind about this. That was Oscar Brown Jr. from an album entitled Sin and Soul. Oscar Brown Jr. When I was a young man, Oscar Brown, one of my favorite singers, singing that classic, The Work Song. Young people don't want to hear that. You know, they've been given some bum scoop. That's why I call it BS. Well, all I have to do is think positive and my life's going to be positive. No, it's not. You're going to work. And either it's going to be on a chain gang instituted by the judge. Remember, you're in America. You are not free natives running around in the jungle making your life work, your dream castles. No, this is truly it. I, too, like some of you, wonder why my parents got together and made me as a human being. But when I peruse around in my mind, they could not help it, because the cheapest thing on the block was sex back when I was a kid growing up. That's right. Didn't have to pay for it. It just happened naturally between people on a regular basis. All the time. It's what populates our planet. And it has so populated the planet that none of us can adequately say that we are happy with this overflow of human beings, which seem to be spewing filthiness everywhere we look. Let's go back to chapter 4 of that text that I was talking about earlier, the content of our character, as written by Shelby Steele. I want to share some of these statements with you that he made in this book. He was basically saying let me read the last. I think I was so impressed by the last sentence in this chapter. It reads something like this. It says, I believe that the next collective challenge for Black America is simply to walk out and meet the words and ideas that made us tense. What a statement, because after reading chapter 4, I said, oh, Shelby, you're asking Black people to face up to the fact that they are Black, to say it loud, and they're Black and they're proud. Well, there's too many other phobias, stigmas that we've placed in front of us. Listen. I can go to any religion in the world, Christianity, but I'm going to go to Islam today, and I want to share this with you. Did you know that the major group in America, in the African-American population, they find affection in this faith called Islam than the more traditional association with Christianity? And why do you think that is so? Why would you think that an African American would love to be united with Islam other than Christianity? Does it make you think? Well, let's look at it from the Islamic worldview, and we'll get back to Shelby, okay? Symbols and rituals and actions are important if you're a Muslim. And so, therefore, if you guys are working around these people, I'm trying to help some of you Christians out there. If you're working around these people, you have to be careful. But professing the proper belief, that's the foundation of which a life of exemplary action is built. In other words, when you give homage to Allah and you live for His praises and for His glory, in the sense that Christian says that they give homage to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And so we see these similarities. Now, what is the absolute in the Islamic world? Well, the absolute is that in Islam is a firm monotheism. just like one would say about Christianity. Well, we believe in one God, but when you present the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that blows some professing Christians' minds. They can't put their, what do they call it? Ice, water, and steam? Oh, come on. You can surely do better than that. No, but to the Islamic mind, the absolute is that God communicates with humanity through the Quran in the very same way. And the absolute in the Christian faith is that God communicates to humanity through the Bible. You see. And note this, that Islam denounces any form of idolatry. Any form. And when you look at some of this people worship that Africans are doing now and ancestral lineage stuff, I don't know. What do Muslims think about the world? Well, they believe that God created a good world and that it is sustained by the will of God, just like the Christians. And the world is made for humans to enjoy, just like the Christians. Food is good. Drink other than alcohol is generally good, just like the Christians. Sounds just like I'm reading from a Christian writ. How about this? The world is a beautiful place, a kind of preview for the conditions that will be found in a pure form in the next life, just like Christianity. You can look at Islam and Christianity and put them right next to each other and see the similarities. And one might have, why aren't these two groups of people loving each other and getting the best? Why don't we take our minds there? Why don't we at least do that? Man, if I were still pastoring in a church, I would tell you, this is exactly what I would preach. Oh, this is good stuff here. What else do Muslims believe about humans? Well, Islam has a story of Adam and Eve, the first humans created by God, just like the Christians. Humans are above all other creatures in the order of nature, just like Christianity. I'm not kidding you. Islam also teaches that we have a moral responsibility to live according to the commandments of God, just like Christianity. You're saying, John, you're lying. I'm not. What else? The Muslim believes, when possible, humans are to live at peace with one another, recognizing that all humans of any race in any location should submit to God, just like what Christianity teaches. Man, this is like it's taken. See, in all this fussing and fighting, these are brothers. They just talk a different language, eat a different food, survive in a different way. I know some of you evangelicals, oh, you're reading from the devil's letter. No, you've been brainwashed by lunatics. And I'm trying to get you out of your dreamscape. And I never was there with you, if you ever thought I was. You're a lunatic. And I'm not going to quote a lunatic's passage code to be your friend. Wait a minute. Islam brought considerable improvement to the states of females. Now, you may really disagree with that. No, but listen, before Islam was developed, females didn't stand a chance. Now, you can't compare to the American female because, well, I think America learned her lesson when the first female that ran for president was solely defeated, and defeated by such a way and in such a way that you would know that no female will ever be the head of this country until all the good men are dead. Some of you may say bad men, but there it is. What else does Islam teach? It teaches that Eve was created by God to be a helper and a companion for Adam. Just like the Christians. In Islamic belief, body and soul are strongly united. Christianity too. The whole person communicated with God and answers to him for their conduct, just like in Christianity. This is what Islam believes about humans. Islam believes that a person carries out the duties of the pillars of Islam. What does Christianity teach? Ten Commandments. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that. Islam has some of those commandments also. We have no business hating each other and fighting each other over religion. I think what our religion does is communicates to us that a good God that created us expected us to live with one another and love one another. So much so that if our brother hurts, whether in the desert or on a plush green island, we should care for them and not blow them to smithereens with our super jets and missiles. What else? If you practice Islam, the practice of mortifying the flesh to release the spirit has not been well received in Islam. Right. You can't do that in that religion. Now, Islam would also admit, just like Christianity would have to admit, that the faith holds particular problems. Islam acknowledges the sin of Adam and Eve, but it does not see the effects as extending to all other humans. See, and that's what Christianity differs, because Christianity says one man sinned, then the whole race is banished because of the DNA. I'm sorry, that's what I taught when I taught the Bible. That's why always in the church only a certain kind of person would join a Christian church, because if you're telling him from the onset that he's nothing but a piece of dirt, what is sin to the person that practices Islam? Sin is refusing to submit to the will of God revealed through the prophets, especially his final one, Muhammad. You know that. That's why some of you Christians in a public place around these people start offending the prophet Muhammad. They may take odds against that. Just like if you were in a public place and they begin to, we can use Jesus' name under our breath with all kind of curse words in this country. So Jesus is not a sacred name. In this country, Jesus is just Jesus with a different kind of an understanding behind it. We can clearly see the similarities of both Christianity and Islam. Now, the solutions for humans, because since I just told you where they saw the flaws in humans, well, the solution for humans is that salvation comes to the person of the Islamic faith when you acknowledge this: there is no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet. Now listen to these beautiful words here. If I were from that part of the world, I can understand it being from this part of the world. Listen, listen. Salvation comes from acknowledging. That merely means say as others have said before you, that there is no God but God. Now, would I say that? Of course I would. There is no God but God. Okay, thus far, my head's not going to come off, some of you Christians would say. But look at the other part of this. And Muhammad is his prophet. Now, I would have to say that, yes, say that Muhammad is his prophet. Just like in the same way that I had to say that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, yeah, because that's the way they meant it to be for them. But it's not Jesus. No, it's Muhammad. It's God's prophet. Just like Jesus is God's prophet here. Yes. And just like every culture before that had a prophet, giving some prophecies, writing stuff in books, putting it down. Now, which era did you grow up in? And then ask yourself this question. Does the generation that I am living in right now even want to profess any of this religion because they see that it's tearing up the world that they live in? Now, don't get it twisted. Muslims also had a beautiful community of ethics. Muslim cities are built around a mosque, which is a symbol for a community which is centered on God. America used to be like that. Every neighborhood had its church. I grew up in Los Angeles when it wasn't storefronts, it was community churches. Every neighborhood, every community had its church, just like they have their mosque. And to think about what that crazy man did to the Islamic mosque in New Zealand is despicable. But this is why I'm teaching about this today, because we need to open our minds. What did I say? Cause is defined when we open our minds. You can't say that you have something against these people if you don't know a darn thing about them and don't want to. You're a bigot in some kind of way. And I'm not calling you that the way that Shelby used it in chapter 4 of his book, The Content of Our Character. I'm not using it like that. An interesting chapter that speaks about this vulnerability, this recomposed self that black people put themselves through. You know, like we all have to believe the same thing. No, we don't. Quiet is kept. I don't want to believe what you believe. Why would anyone want to believe what someone else believes? It doesn't make any sense. But that's where they want you today. They want you to believe just like every other human being around you believes. Then you're truly a robot in the truest sense of the word. Muslim cities are built around that mosque. And we used to have it built around the church. Now, I'm going to read to you some of their that's it. In my community, they're going through the second week of this Nipsey Russell guy. I have an opinion. With this much time, I think I can wager this opinion. Disrespect one should never disrespect anyone. Because once you begin to disrespect someone, you place, I'm trying to think of just the right words here, and I'm thinking about the Nipsey Hussle case. I regret that death took place. It is the epitome of what I speak about on my website, of how black men can kill other black men, and that way is gangster. That really was a gangster move, and I was on the website. A young man showed me a picture of Nipsey slapping this guy, not the guy that shot him, but slapping some guy in the face. And I said, what is this? Well, I used to say it, so I guess I'll continue to say it. Teach your children that respect for other people provides respect back to them. Teach them that disrespect carries with it its rewards. An important principle in the Bible, it sounds like this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I better stick to the old motifs, because you see, I pause when I think of Nipsey Hussle because I don't want to be misrepresented. I never knew the man existed until the day that he died. Some youngsters were visiting me, and they begin to call each other and say, Nipsey Hussle has been shot on Crenshaw and Slauson. And I said, you mean Nipsey Russell? Because Nipsey Russell was a black comedian back in the days of... No, Nipsey Hussle. He was 33. And I said, oh, that's not Nipsey Russell. Okay. And then the story comes out and it develops. And I guess the clincher is Chris Darden, one of the DAs during the O.J. Simpson trial, partnered up with Marsha, I forget her last name now, to convict O.J. and Johnny Cochran and the Dream Team got O.J. off. And now we see in this case more drama. And you go and get one of the attorneys that lost the city case against O.J. is defending, on tape video, evidence right in front of you, murder by a man who will never be popular. And Chris Darden was looking, when he was in the courtroom, like he's a man being hunted by demons. Is it you? Is it I? Is there something that I'm missing here? But that's pretty crazy. pretty crazy indeed. Wow. Well, 30 minutes is enough, I think. I won't play any more music because I have to go visit a friend of mine in the convalescent home. Take him a nice bite to eat. And hopefully, have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you for coming to my website, listening to me just go on about things. Think about what I've said. Think about the things that I haven't said. Think on your own. Think things through. And any cause that you try to embrace as your own, remember this, you cannot define what that cause is unless you open your minds. Watch this. I got this letter in the mail trying to get me to purchase earthquake insurance, because here in Southern California we're due for a big one. And I looked at it. I didn't throw it in the trash because I said, oh my God, I know my money's tight, but if an earthquake does hit, I do want to rebuild the house. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking like a young man that just built a house and had a young family. And a friend of mine came by. I call him G-Man, Guillermo. He came by, his job had him working in the area. And we talked a little bit on the front porch. And I said, by the way, man, I told him, I got this ad in the mail. Do you have earthquake insurance? Because I'm thinking about getting it. And he said, man, when it goes down, brother, we all go down. And he was right. He said, it's not going to only be your house on the block tore up. It's all of them. So whether you have it or you don't have it, that was so wise. And especially me at my age, you see, because I was trained to keep things sustained. But when a system has played itself, because I used to teach them in my Bible study, this system is going to play itself out. It's going to play. I said, all these nice paying jobs and all this stuff, you're not going to have that job all your life. I speak with these youngsters and I tell them, look, you're supposed to get something just to keep food in your mouth. Just to eat. Man, one of the webcasts, I may talk about that one time. I may talk about what's going on with these youngsters. How are they going to survive? Not going to survive. Man, please. Well, I've spoken enough. See, my mind is taking me to something else. I want to drink my tea. Some good tea also. Some kind of, please don't tell me that it's not good tea. It's called Abound Gold Emblem, and it's green tea, I think it is. And it's delicious. Thanks for coming by. See you real soon with another interesting topic.